We're going to talk for a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe more, on living in heaven's perspective.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
And
Let's go. This
is not a beat me up time. This is not a time if I wish I would have done it this way. This is a time when really looking at what God really wants to do in our lives and how He has done it previously. Okay, I'm sorry. You want me to preach something different? What did I do?
You made the devil mad again.
Right away.
Action.
I'm rereading a book, and I just can't get away from it, called Fire and Fragrance by Andy Bird and some other guy. And Sean, okay. Perspective simply means your view. How do you look at things? Do we understand that most of our view of the world and things and God are formed around a coffee table with negative people? Do we realize it's by Fox News and ABC and CBS and NBC, and we're letting people who absolutely have no perspective of God share what they think are going to happen? I like what Mineral Valley says. Even Fox may be fair and balanced, it's still depressing. And so we are not allowing God to share with us what He thinks of us, number one, and what He wants to do. Let me ask you a simple question. How many of you, the first time you start feeling a pain, start repenting of something you did 20 years ago? Huh? God, forgive me. You know what He's saying up there? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. And so we get something serious like Margaret had, past tense, like Margaret had. We pray for weeks about, God, I don't realize what I've done wrong. I don't realize the sin. And God is saying, shut up. Ask me to heal you. But we go that way. Something's falling apart. What did I do wrong? Bob has a 4th of July celebration in a house he's not living in, and it just kind of goes up in the air. God didn't do it. And so we come to a perspective that God wants us to have. Andy Bird was going through a tough time, author of the book. And he's waiting and he's waiting and he wants something to happen. He wants something to move. And God suddenly one day asked him a question. And he asked him this. He asked him two questions. I want you to think about them. He said, Andy, do you think the angels are living in insecurity because of the outcome that's going to happen? And then he asked him a question, which is very interesting. He says, do you think the angels are insecure about my leadership? Think about it. We start fretting and worrying because we're not really sure that God's in control. I want to tell you something. Once and for all, He is. Amen? He is. And so no matter what you're going through and what's happening and how you're living, God's in control. And let's just think a moment what life is really going to be like when all of a sudden we realize I'm living in God's perspective. I'm living in heaven's perspective. How about Ephesians 3:20? How about that for a perspective? I know that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think according to the power that works within me. Is that true? Do we live that way? Let's just go for it. You know, people think we're nuts anyway. Let's prove it. Come on. How about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Is that just some empty words? Well, and you know, if you don't want to put the I in there, say, through Christ I can do anything. Does that work? How many got billfold or purse with you? Hold it up. This is a blessing. Hold it up. Hold it up. Come on. My God, say it with me, shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. Fill it up, Lord. Amen. Why not? Why not? I'm tired of living on shortages. This church is no longer going to live on shortages. Come on, we're going to flow in abundance, and we're going to give, and we're going to bless, and we're going to prosper, and we're going to love more and more and more. Amen?
Yes.
If you don't believe it, go to the First Church of the Sorrow. Just go ahead. God's perspective. You know, we miss, and wouldn't you feel bad? Wouldn't you feel bad if somebody just thought you were an ornery old person, always trying to take from them and always trying to hurt them and always trying to put cancer on them and always trying to give them heart attacks and always trying, that's people's images of God. That's what they think about God. Come on. He's not that way. His reputation, as Ray would say, has been besmirched. Let's give him his reputation back, because he really is a wonderful, good, beautiful God that absolutely, radically loves us.
Amen.
Amen. So let's start just looking at things through the eyes of God. I'm going to have you do something in a moment. Because at least two or three places, God says that we are his temple. We are his temple. We are the temple of the living God. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Stand with me. Let's get nuts. I want you to look like you're looking in the mirror, and I want you to tap yourself on the chest and say,
my body
is a temple
of the Holy Spirit.
Therefore, every day, I walk with God. And God walks with me. My life is not my own. He redeemed me. And he wants me. Therefore, I am his. Tell him, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours. My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. The presence of Jesus Christ dwells within me. I'm a walking, talking image of God. Come on. Hallelujah. I don't care what you did last week, and I don't care what bad thoughts you had, and neither does he. You are a walking, talking image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just remind the devil that. You may be seated. Who can quote Jeremiah 29:11? Okay. I want to get it on the tape, so I'll say it. Mary, next time, jump up here and say it in the mic. Jeremiah 29:11. Maybe some people need to put that on your fridge or put it on your car. For I know the thoughts or plans in the New King James, NIV, that I have, that I think for you, thoughts of peace or plans of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Now look at me. How many are here right now? How many know tomorrow's the future? How many know tonight's the future? If you're still around, then God's plan is still working. God wants to prosper you and give you a future and a hope. A hope means expectation. Now let's break something right now. It's not expectation that everything is going to fail and everything's going to go wrong. It's an expectation that he's going to prosper, touch, heal, minister, and bless every single one of you.
Yes.
Is that right? How many are going to just refuse to let him do it? Raise your hand. Come on. Say with me, I'm a candidate of Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to walk it out, and wherever he takes me, blessings go before me, behind me, on my right, on my left. I am a blessing. Give the Lord a hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm a blessing. Now don't go home and look at the mirror and start. Tell the mirror you're a blessing. Train the mirror. Come on, train the mirror. Don't let the mirror talk back to you. Praise God. Go with me to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to give you some principles here, but next week we're going to talk about David, I believe. Lord, don't change anything. 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, Chronicles, Old Testament. How many have really been in a battle? How many have really thought things are falling apart? How many of you looked and you saw the enemy on every side and no God? Well, open both your eyes, because God's there. The reason I said that is because King Jehoshaphat was being attacked. King Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And all of a sudden, armies of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and even the termites, they were all coming. And they had one purpose in mind. What do you think that purpose was? They were going to destroy him. They're going to wipe him out. Look at me for a moment. The devil doesn't want you living what's being preached this morning. So if he gets in your way, kick him out. He's a liar. And so Jehoshaphat calls for a prayer. Fasting and prayer from the whole group of people, the whole nation. And all of a sudden, Jehazel stands up with a word from the Lord. How many realize? Look at me now. How many realize when things are kind of falling apart, it's kind of nice to hear from God? Huh? Come on. You can hear from your neighbors. You can hear from people coming in. You can hear from people going out. But I tell you what, until God has spoken, we haven't heard anything really important. And so the prophet stands up and he says something. And the first point of this is, when you want heaven's perspective, listen to God. Amen. Hear what God is saying. You ever made a wrong decision? Don't go back there and hang there now. God is never wrong. Come on. God is never wrong. Never. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him in verse 14. Doesn't matter. Just pick it for 14. Chapter 20. You people are supposed to know this. I'm sorry. I had a lot of faith in you. 2 Chronicles 20. I know it threw me off. Stan's not sitting where he's supposed to be. I'm all messed up. I just can't get. Verse 15, he says, listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? Okay, look at me. We lose perspective when we get a report and we suddenly start looking at the report instead of looking at God. I know it for fact. And you say, how do you know it? I went to the doctor and she said, you know, you're right next to needing dialysis. And I thought, oh my word. I like the way I'm doing now. You know, for 2 or 3 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks, Man, I didn't want to think of the thoughts that I was going through at night because they were weird, they were crazy. I'm going to die, my family's going to be alone, all this stuff is going on. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So Satan with the message, and years ago we had a group here that sang the song, "Whose Report Are You Going to Believe?" And so we are prone to accept negativity when we get God's perspective. As we start looking through God, there's no more negativity, it's positive in Christ. Amen? We start living that. And so the negative reports are just another chance for God to do his thing. And so we come to a place where the first thing that Jehaziel said, and God said, don't get fearful and don't be dismayed and go hide underneath the bushes. It's going to be okay because this is not your battle. Look at me. I think you are, maybe. Why do we fight battles that are God's? Why do we get in places where we think it's all about us doing it instead of saying, okay, God, I can do all things through Christ who what?
Strength.
Through Christ who what?
Strength.
Through Christ who what?
Strength.
So why am I trying to do it in my own strength? Isn't it kind of interesting when, and we'll get into this next week, I'll just give you a preview here. When God sent David to kill the giant, he didn't say fight him with a sword. You ever think about that? He didn't say fight him with a sword. He said, just take 5 stones and hit one, and that stone's going to have a perfect guidance system. My radar is going to direct it right to Goliath's head, and down he goes. And then when Goliath is dead, David took the sword and cut off his head. God has never looked at us and said, I want you to do the work that I'm supposed to do. He didn't hire us to be Christians. Hello. He didn't hire us. He had brought us into the family. We're sons and daughters of God. We don't look at things and say, how am I going to get this done? There's so much piling up. God said, wait a minute. What about me? A little boy is pulling his wagon loaded with rocks. All of a sudden he hit a rut and he couldn't pull it out. And he came crying to his dad and said, Dad, I've pulled and I pulled and I pulled. And Dad said, have you done everything you can? Yeah, I can't get it out. One thing, son, you didn't do. You didn't ask me to help you. God is allowing us to help him. You see it? He's allowing us to help him. It's his burden if he's going to carry it. It's not ours. I love the way you're shouting. Because what in the world can be any good if you don't have to worry to get it done? Hello? Come on. So listen to what God is saying. God's saying, it's not your battle. In fact, in Ephesians, he says this, having done all to stand, run after the devil. Stand there. Stand. It's exactly what he told Jehoshaphat. Go out in the morning and stand and watch what I do.
Amen.
And so we watch what he does through us. He says something else that I looked at this morning. Because to be honest, I was going to preach on David this morning and I suddenly got a PS from God. That's not my perfect plan for you today. So. In verse 17, the second thing you need to do, in the prophecy it says, position yourselves and stand still. Position yourselves for victory. You say, what are you talking about? God has one way of giving us victory. We stand like this. We position ourselves in his presence. We position ourselves in worship. We position ourselves in praise. And I'm going to show you how that position works. in just a moment. We just position ourselves and say, God, this is all about you. This is your battle. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I don't care. The end result is yours. It's for your glory. I'm standing and I'm praising you through this whole deal. I went to Margaret's on Thursday. First word she said, I'm going to be healed. How can the devil fight with that? Give the devil his due. Tell him you're a loser. You lost from the beginning. You're still a loser. And I'm overcoming you in the name of Jesus. You have no authority in my family. Amen. Try it. You might like it. Position yourself. And that's what they did. Look down with me to verse 21. Well, first of all, look at verse 20, the last part of verse 20. Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Don't look for ways to disbelieve God. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. Take hold of what God has said and put it into practice. I don't care what the issue is. It doesn't matter what the issue is. God's word is not conditional on the situation. God said it, it's true, I believe it, it's done, it's over, it's mine. Amen? And you may look, I don't see nothing happening. Stand. Ooh. Stand. They went out there and they stood and they worshiped and they praised. And you know something surprising? God handled the situation. God handled it. As they were standing praising God, two of the groups attacked the other group. And when they annihilated that group, they attacked each other, annihilated themselves. And the Israelites went in there and picked up the spoils and walked home with a bundle. Kind of a neat way, isn't it? It's kind of a neat way. And as we get God's perspective, as we have his heavenly perspective, we say things, we see things as he sees them.
Amen.
We start looking at things different. We start understanding, hey, God's already been here. It's going to be okay. And we start walking this out. Walking in his glory, living in his grace,
yes.
Being tied into his plan and his program and his purpose. And you know something? Life gets simplified. Do you ever tell yourself, I need my life simplified?
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at it through God's eyes. Start allowing the heavenly vision that God has given us to flow. Start realizing God has kind of have a history. Now, he kind of took the children of Israel through the Red Sea. You know, he kind of told them how to do Jericho. Kind of told them. He had a plan for David and Goliath. He had a plan for Joshua and Caleb. Do you know what happened? Joshua and Caleb begin to listen to public opinion and they didn't carry it out. I mean, the 10 spies listened to public opinion. They didn't carry it out. There was only two there with a different spirit, Joshua and Caleb. And they went to the promised land. And so whatever is going on, wherever you're headed, whatever direction you're going toward God, don't start living your life through your own mind. Start living your life through what God has said. And if you have struggles, try the book.
Amen.
Try the book. It works. And God will take your hand. And this week, and for the rest of your life, just start thanking Him. Do you know something? Things get bigger and heavier and harder and more frustrating when we don't bring God into the picture. When we're going to do it ourselves. When we got it made. Or we're going to listen to the neighbor. Or we're going to listen to somebody else. Somebody else is going to say something to us and all of a sudden we're backing away. I quit. And God is saying, time out. The devil doesn't agree with God. And God doesn't agree with the devil. But we know who wins. And we know what side wins. And if you don't believe it, go to the back of the book. And walk it out. Because this life is very valuable. And you don't realize that it's valuable to God. And God has a purpose and a plan for every single believer. And He doesn't want us sitting on our pity potty chair waiting for something to happen so that we can praise Him. Enough has happened already so we can praise Him through eternity without Him ever doing another thing. But because He loves you and His grace is abundant to you, He intervenes in our lives daily and we walk it out. And it's not about things falling apart. It's that in Jesus Christ, everything is held together. And we live it. We live it. Whatever kind of issue you have, if you have any, raise your hands. Just raise them. Raise them. Just raise them. And Father, right now, through the blessings that You've blessed us with, we bless this group of people to walk in Your presence. To live in Your perspective. No matter what things seem like, they're never that way because God, You're in control. And so whatever impression we have, whether a true impression or a false impression or something that's been hyped or something that's been deteriorating in the name of Jesus, we take Your perspective. We take Your view and we praise You today because You know it all. And You have blessed us with it all. And we stand here with arms uplifted, praising Your holy name. And we speak life into every situation that seems death. We speak light into every situation that seems dark. We speak Your prosperity into everything that looks like failure. And we bless it now in the name of Jesus. And we give You praise. And we give You thanks. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Just give Him a hand of praise. This-